Don't get much better than that. Praise the Lord. Kelly, you got my songbook over there. If you stand, open your Bibles this morning. The reading of the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'd like to start it's kind of a new thought, but I guess it's a continuation of what we've been talking about on the headstone of divine love. And the Lord seemed to might be getting inspired service by service here recently. Kind of had a thought and it would go maybe for a few services, but this doesn't seem like it's going to quite be that way, at least so far. I got the inspiration for this. I know I'd had some thoughts the Lord had been giving me, but it really hit me when I was mowing the churchyard. So I just like how the Lord does things sometimes, you know. Get you to stop depending on yourselves, the main thing, and realize that you just need Him. That's all we need. If we have the Lord, we have everything. That's right. I forgot to get the May calendar printed. I'll get it here shortly, but in a few weeks, Brother Trevor's going to be here. And Brother Chad, BCF in Lima, they're having services the same weekend, but they're having services Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday. We're just going to have a Saturday night and Sunday, so you can visit where you can and things like that. I'm planning on about 6 on Saturday, if that's okay with everyone. It's been a little while since we had Brother Trevor, but I sure enjoyed it last time he was here. I don't think he'll scare us again with his bleach and what was the other one? What's that? Ammonia, that's right, yeah. But be good to have Brother Trevor back. So, 1 Thessalonians 2, let's go to verse 8. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, this is the verse I really want to hit on today, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I'd like to preach this afternoon. Love is not changing the standard. Love is not changing the standard. Let's bow our heads together, everyone, in God's presence. If you have a need you'd like to lift up, say, Lord, behind this hand, you know what's in my heart. Speak to me today. God bless each one. Let's pray. You pray your own way. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering the saints together this afternoon. We thank you for the promise of the Word that wherever two or three would gather, wherever it might be in your name, you would be there in the midst, Father. And we know your Spirit's here now. And I pray, Lord, that you'll take the preeminence, that you'll help all of us, Lord, to take our minds and our lives and all the cares of this world and just cast it aside right now. And to look at you in the face, you as the Word of God, that as we just read there, that we would receive the Word not as of from men, but that it's God Himself speaking to us today. Lord, you that know the thoughts and intents of the heart, I pray you come. Use my lips to speak to the needs of every person that's here today. Go beyond even our own mental capacity, that we might know who we really are on the inside, and if there's something the devil snuck into our hearts or into our lives and it's drawing us away from you, the one that we love, we pray, Father, that you'll come discern that thing and the blood will be there to forgive us, Lord, and to bring us back to fellowship again. Bless each Christian that's here. Help those that aren't Christians. May they receive the Word today and be converted. May the Holy Spirit be here, Lord, that each one might receive from you. Heal the sick, save the lost, and fill the empty, we ask, believing your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you, Lord. Love is not changing the standard. Begin to realize that our world anymore, we're losing sense of any sort of absolute in anything. Everything's changed. Everything that we used to just, you, You used to not even question certain things. Why is it that way? That stuff wasn't asked. Now it's asked about anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Why is that cup that size? Why do we have to do this? Why do I have to go there? Why do I have to be at school? Why do I got to have a job? And we just have all these questions of why. And before it was just, we had a term that we used that actually existed at some point. It was called common sense. But here in where we're at now in 2015, American Laodicea, we've lost that. There's no such thing as common sense anymore, because if it was common, common people would have it. But nobody's got it anymore. Common sense would tell me that if I walk out in the street, it's not the guy that hit me. It's not his fault. It's mine. If I'm the one that doesn't pay attention to the warning signs when it tells me to yield and I just blaze on right through there and I drill somebody, I'll tell you right now, if that happens to you, they'll fight you tooth and nail that it was really your fault. Why? Because there's no such thing as common sense anymore. When you see people that'll just eat McDonald's and Twinkies all the time and then go blame some government official or some company why they're walking around fat. It ain't my fault. Why? It's yours. Well, no, that ain't common sense. Common sense will tell you, if you just get off the couch a little while and maybe put away some of that food, you won't be a big fatty. I know y'all are just going to have to get used to me. Just go ahead and snuggle right in. I don't know how else to say it, okay? I get that sometimes. I'm here in Laodicea too, and I deal with high schoolers all the time, so I probably talk like them a little bit. But you know what? That's what Paul, we think of Paul as a big scholarly fella. But if you read the Bible, he says, my speech was rude. And if you look at that, that means it was just common talk. It was just what any guy off the street would sound like. And that's what baffled everybody that would come to Paul. They hear these great things about him and this mighty man of God. And then they see this little frail guy who can't even, kind of stutters a little bit and don't quite get it out just right. And has to come back and say, well, I know what I meant. I meant to say this here, but I wrote it in a letter. I got it right. So here you go. I'll send you this letter. Man, it's weighty and powerful. Yeah, that's what I meant in person. But I just can't quite get it out just right. And I feel that way many times. I'm sure you do too. God will inspire you to say something or do something, and you just know it's God, and you can just feel Him all over you. But how to get it done just seems to be hard sometimes. And you go and you make a mess of things, and you say, Lord, just help me again, and He's faithful to do that. Hallelujah. We think that, let me say it like this. See, I'm a high school teacher, and they keep changing just about everything. Nothing ever stays the same anymore. And why is it? It's because instead of being honest with kids, we just want them to feel good. And that's really the whole society in general. Instead of saying, you know what, here's the standard, and you're not there, buddy. You're just not there. Why you're not there? That's, we could argue and say, and honestly, it's not, I wouldn't necessarily blame school system in general. I would say it's parent delinquency is the reason. As a teacher, I can do so much, but I've talked to some kids that they go home, there ain't no mom or dad there. They're out doing pot themselves. What else is kid supposed to be doing? And I have to sit there as a teacher and try to do the best I can for them to learn algebra. How in the world is that going to happen when they can't even focus long enough because there's no stability in the home? Amen. And it is a terrible word. I understand that. But here's the point. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter when we try to make excuses why I can't do this and I can't do that. And I hope you're being spiritual right now, not just thinking naturally. I know I'm using the school, but this is for Christians too. Oh, I can't do that because of the way I was raised. I can't do that because I sin under this preacher. I can't do that because I live too far away from this and nobody visits me and all these excuses. That's why I can't be the Christian I ought to be. I love that brother, but he's so mean to me. It's excuses. That's what it is. Because it really doesn't matter when it's all done. Because here's the standard. And you're not making it. And we'll think that love is, instead of trying to do something to help you get up to that standard, love is bring the standard down to me. That's what most of the world thinks anymore. They used to have a certain rigor of the ACT and the SAT, the test you got to take to get to college. And they had kids that weren't doing too hot on that. So you know what they did? Instead of telling them, look, you might have to put in some more time. You might have to study a little bit more than you want to. You might have to quit playing video games for a little bit and go apply yourself to be successful in life. But instead, our government officials and all their genius get together. You know what they say? Let's just bring it down a little bit. Let's just bring the standard up. And you know what it does? It sounds great. It sounds great, but you know what happens? Then you get kids that think they're qualified and they're not. They think they know something, and then they get on the job and they realize, I don't know how to do any of this.
And really what you did in trying to show them love, you did them a disservice and made them completely unmarketable to the world. They've got a degree now that costs them $50,000 and it means nothing because they can't even get a job. Because they were never taught that they had to actually be qualified first. Are you hearing me now? Well, I'd be a Christian, Brother Andrew, but I just don't see the point going to church twice a week. Do I really got to pray every day? Can't I just listen to the Bible when it's read in church? Do I really got to read it myself? Do I really need the Holy Ghost, or can I just be around it? Do I really have to believe everything the prophet told me I ought to believe, or can I kind of pick and choose because, you know, that standard's a little too high. We're in Laodicea. It's a dry time. There's no moving of the Spirit like there used to be. Woo! Hit something hard today. But you know what? That's not love. Changing the standard because you're doing yourself a disservice. When you begin to water down the Word of God, you are not doing what you think you are. You are literally leaving Him. Because it's either the Word. The Word is not a doctrine. The Word is not a code of ethics. The Word is not a legislative move of some sort. The Word is a person. And you either have that person in you, with you, through you, for all eternity, or you won't. So when you see the devil begin to come in and say, well, I know Brother Branham said I should read my Bible and pray every day if I want to serve the Lord, but on Tuesdays I just can't get it done. I'm just too busy. The Lord's going to have to deal with that. What you've done is you've taken the Word and you said, well, I'm down here. There just ain't no point in even trying to get up there. I can't do it. So what I'll do is I'll think this is love and grace and mercy of God to take the standard and bring it down where I am.
Sure.
So I'm okay now. Because I feel okay. It's not a big deal no more. And you think that's love, but what it is the devil.
Sure.
It's absolutely the devil. He's gotten to your mind. He's tricked you into thinking of what the grace of God is, which it isn't at all, and got you to believe a lie so that way he can have residence in your house and just stay there.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And he'll let you feel good for a while. He'll comfort you and say, oh, you know, they're just legalistic. They're just judging you. They're just trying to come after you. And there ain't a person in church even thinks about that.
Right.
And once you begin to realize, I'm just going to have my real mom, my biological mother anyhow, she used to smoke and things, and she used to hate coming and staying with us. And she used to think it was because we were judging her and everything. And then now that the Lord's been working on her a little bit, she's realized that she's just convicted. Because here we are Christians, and my children are around, and we don't frolic and do all these things. They know Bible songs and Bible stories and things like that, and it's that atmosphere. It creates something where God is, and then when that devil, because I believe smoking is a devil, and you can say it's a bad habit or anything, or we can make excuses for everything else. There's only two sources in the world. It's either the devil or it's God. We can say, well, it's my medical condition. It's this. No, it's not. It's the devil got in there. That's all there is to it. Because if it is a medical condition, if you were born with it, I got a solution. Get born again. Which doesn't just mean a second time. It literally means born from heaven.
Amen.
My mom used to just feel convicted, and I thank the Lord that he's worked on her on that one, that we weren't even trying to judge her. She was smoking, but she tried to hide it and say, I got to go to the grocery store and all these things. We're not dumb. And I appreciate her not trying to smoke in front of my kids, because a lot of people don't even give you that kind of respect anymore. But you know, Lord worked on her, so did they. She even told me that in person. She said, I realized that it wasn't you guys judging me. I was just convicted about it. And the devil will take that conviction, because you're a human no matter what. You are made to serve God.
Right, amen.
So when something like a lie or something, it just doesn't jive just right. But if you don't have the right mind, and Satan can get in there and convince you that it's not the, you're not mad at the Word. You believe the Word. It's those judgmental Christians over there. It's Pastor so-and-so. Brother so-and-so, you know, and if it wasn't for them, I'd still be in church. I'd still be serving the Lord if they wouldn't have treated me so bad 20 years ago. Somebody's you're getting tore up, but it's the love of God. I'll tell you that right now. This ain't Brother Andrew's idea. And that's what I'm really trying to get to. This is what Paul, look, he had to convince his disciples of the same thing. that you have to recognize, this isn't me bringing this to you. I was not taught this, what I'm bringing to you. I didn't learn it in a school, and I'm trying to give you the learning that I received. He said, I learned this by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to get you to the same Holy Ghost to realize that I, Paul now speaking, I'm the messenger of this age. You might not like that. You know, the Corinthians, some of them said, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Christ. See, I don't need no man. I'm of Christ. Well, the same Christ you're saying you serve told you that if you want to do the works of God, you have to believe on Him whom He sent.
Amen.
You know, it says that Jesus was crucified again because they had built traditions and killed Him off. Well, Jesus only died one time on the cross. How did they kill Him again? It's because for you to kill the Word in one of His servants is the same as killing Christ Himself.
Right.
Absolutely. I think we're starting to feel what we're getting at today. And I've got some examples. Maybe we can turn them, maybe not. I think this first one here, we all know the story a little well, so I'll just paraphrase it and preach on it a little bit. I just kind of like preaching sometimes, you know? I don't know. Just once in a while, I like to just kind of let loose and go. You ever felt that way out there? You ever felt that way? You know what? Today, Lord, I'm not going to think about it too hard. But if You do something that stirs my heart, I'm just going to praise You. I'm just going to say hallelujah. I'm not going to make sure I say it just right, or I say it a little different than brother so-and-so, and I don't know if they'll like that. How about all that fade away? And say, Lord, that was good. I appreciate that. That fed my soul, and I thank You for that nice little nugget You gave me. See, that just feels good, don't it? And then you get all the starchiness off, and you ain't worried about what brother so-and-so's got to say anyways, because you got one judge. That's the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. David, one time, we know he was a faithful man. God had raised him up to be a shepherd out there, and he was faithful with little so he could be faithful with much. Absolutely. And God help us to realize it's the same no matter who you are. I don't care who you are. There's no better state. I don't care if you got a calling of God in your life. If you're not faithful, God will never use it, just like Moses. Moses was called of God since his birth to be the deliverer.
Amen.
He heard the Word for 40 years believing it. But he never committed it to God. He took it into his own hands and says, I'll go deliver. I'll do it my own way. I'll lower the standard. And God will use my sword to do it. And he went and killed an Egyptian. How many knows that? Oh, he got a little bit, right? You know, and that's how the devil will trick you into it. Well, I went to this Baptist church and I got healed over there, so I'm just going to go with that. You just got a little nugget. But when you begin to realize that, whoa, there's a whole big devil come with this. And then Moses went to the people and said, look, don't fight. Look, I'm the deliverer and we're going to get out of here. And says, who made you a ruler and judge? He said, you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? He's like, oh man, they know about it. And what'd he do? He hightailed out of here for 40 years. It took God 5 minutes after that. He went backslid for 40 years, but in 5 minutes times of committing himself to the Word. Not lowering the standard, but saying, Father, if you really call me to this, bring me where I need
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
And Moses wasn't afraid to be honest. Lord, I don't know how to talk.
Amen.
I don't know how to do this. And he said, fine, baby. That's what he said. He said, why are you crying unto me?
Right.
And we all know babies cry. He said, Moses, you big baby, why are you crying? Fine, get your brother. I'll let him be your mouthpiece, but get down there and get going.
Amen.
How am I going to be the bride? How am I going to do this, Lord? I'm just no good. I just can't seem to overcome. Shut up, baby.
Amen.
Did you receive the Holy Ghost? Did you have a one-on-one conference with God? Well, it's time to just listen.
Amen.
And just do it. Nike, that's one thing I can appreciate Nike for, is that slogan. Just do it. Well, I mean, once I pray enough, maybe. There ain't no time to be doing it. There ain't no time to get ready. You need to be ready. How do I get ready? Look, repent. That's it. You say, well, why, Brother Andrew, why you always got to preach on me? Why you always got to be so hard? Why can't you preach about so-and-so's church sins and leave us alone? Oh, because God sent a pastor here with the anointing for a different church so I could spread it here and then record it so they could haphazardly come upon it on the internet and realize, oh, that was really for our church, not here. That's nonsense. And as a pastor, that's kind of the burden that's different from other ministries, is you have a burden for here. And you get to talk to people that you see all the time. And you talk to all the time. And you know things about them. And you know their lives and things. And you know who came to church and who didn't. And the devil come tell you, you ain't got no business preaching on getting to church because you're just trying to judge those people. When you all know what the Bible said, you all know what the prophet said,
Amen.
If you've got any love of God in your heart, you can't wait to be in those doors. Woo! Glory! If you come to church for any reason besides that you love the Lord, you might as well stay out. And the devil come tell the preacher, you're just saying that because they missed Wednesday. You're just saying that because they missed last Sunday. Am I? Or is it because the Holy Ghost came and says, get that nonsense out of here. Serve me. And if I was telling you something you didn't know, then that would be one thing, but you know. Nobody in this room, I would say, is ignorant of these things that I've already said. Hallelujah. David one time came down to a bunch of baby cowards because there was one giant out in the land named Goliath. He came to those that were called, named, positioned, and given orders.
That's right.
And right before they got ready to do it, they started shaking in their boots. How many times have we been there? Oh my, just right there, when you're ready to start serving the Lord, and right there you got that last thing on your heart that you're ready. He's like, Lord, I just got to let go of that, and I know you're going to meet me here.
Amen.
And right before you do it, you say, no, I can't do it. I say, Brother Andrew, how do you know about that? Because I did it. Not once, not twice, for 2 years. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You say, is it really just one thing? That's what he told the rich young ruler. He said, rich young ruler, you're like, look, you know, here's the Ten Commandments, do those. And that young man said, you know what, I've done that. So he was thinking, I have the standard. I'm there. And they began to say, wait, you lack one thing. You're greedy. And instead of just saying that, he gave him a proposition. Here's all you got to do. You want eternal life? I'll tell you how to. And everybody thinks that they really want to know the will of God until God tells them. Yeah, Lord, whatever you tell me. Didn't Israel say that? Whatever you say, Jeremiah, we'll do it. Go down to Egypt. Or don't go down to Egypt. That's what he said. Just stay here and be cannon fodder when the Chaldeans come and just serve them. Ooh, I didn't know that. But see, a real Christian, a real believer, it really is, Lord, whatever you say. Whatever you say, I'll do it. So just to backtrack, we'll just leave that all go for now. David came down there. Wasn't even supposed to be there necessarily, but the Holy Spirit knew he needed to be there because God would not let his word go flat. Those Israelites would beat those Philistines. And this bride will beat the devil. That's all I'm going to say. She will. She has to. And the devil, or David got down there, started looking around. I'm just going to read this out of the Bible. Let me see if I can find it real quick. That's a different one. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel as he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And we've heard the same thing. A shout's gone forth and says, what did this bride have? She's got a heavenly place that was built for her. She's got justification, just as much forgiveness as if she never did it in the first place. And all these promises come rolling off. And yet, so many so-called message believers shaking in their boots. Shows there ain't no revelation. Something missing somewhere. So the cry goes forth. What's going to happen to the man that kills us? You're going to have riches and all these great things, right? And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Whew. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. I'm sure the rumor had already spread. There's a mighty man come down. There's a man who ain't afraid of this giant. And Saul, being the big man that he was, he's bigger than I am. Saul was. He was head and shoulders above everyone. He was thinking, man, if I'm scared of that man, then this guy, or scared of this giant, whoever this man is, he must be bigger than I am, because he's not afraid. So he said, bring him down here. And we'll say, oh my, you know, I know I can't get delivered, but this evangelist is coming. And when I hear from him, then I'll really get the word. It has nothing to do with that. Give me a man that just believes. That's what it takes. These signs will follow them that believe. That's all David had. And we can talk about his testimony. I saw a bear one time.
Amen.
Take my sheep, and I went and killed him. Another one tried, or a lion tried to take the other one. I went and killed him. What is this man to those?
Right.
See, that's a man who knows what he's talking about. Not somebody that says, well, we know the Bible said that we'd be delivered and everything. No, this is a man who took that word off the page, and it was living in his life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
But Saul still had that good theological interpretation of what was going on. Oh man, this guy, if he's not afraid of Goliath, he's got to be head and shoulders above Saul.
Sure.
But sure enough, when the words which were heard of David, or which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail thee because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. He didn't say, well, let's talk this over, Saul. Give me some of your theology. Let me put on your armor. He didn't say nothing about any of that. He said, just send me. Here am I. Send me. How are you going to beat him? I ain't going to worry about it. I already did it once. I'll just do it the same way again. But we'll say, well, if it was really the love of God, and we're all right here ready to conquer these Philistines, and all that's in the way is this giant. Oh, Lord, don't you love us? Can't you just bring your standard down a little bit and just strike him with lightning? And we'll go get the rest of them. Praise speaking to you today. You might have a giant in your life, and you say, Lord, deliver me, deliver me. He's saying, you do it. Not deliver you, but go kill the thing. How? Well, I'll tell you the first thing, quit doing it. Second thing, do the exact opposite.
Right.
And we'll say, well, that's just too hard. Well, there's a problem. Where? Because last I checked, the Holy Ghost makes a way.
Amen.
Unless the Bible, unless you think it's wrong, it says that you'll never be tempted above what you can overcome.
Right.
But if you listen to the devil, he say, oh, you can't do this. That giant's just too big. And he's got facts for you. Remember that facts versus truth sermon I preached one? He's got a whole list of facts. Goliath's almost 9-something feet tall. David, you're only 5 foot. Goliath weighs about probably 500 pounds. You weigh maybe 120. He's got a sword that would probably fit in your entire body. Remember, because he used it later on. Glory to God. That's right. This guy's so big. His armor bearer that carries his shield's bigger than you.
Right.
He'll bring up all these facts. You think you can pray? Look at the look at the sin you did yesterday. How are you going to seek the Lord? Look at that. Look at all this filth and nastiness in your life. Do you know that the woman that came to Jesus was thrown down in adultery? Come on now. Willingly received because she believed? How about the woman at the well? You had 5 husbands. In most message churches would have said serpent seed. You've had 5 husbands. Not 1, not 2, 5. And you're living with a man now. Let's see, something believed the word. She didn't lower Christ's standard, and neither did Christ come down. Do you understand? He didn't change the standard. He said, whoa, you got to believe now. We know that when Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. Jesus put her to the standard test. I'm he. I am he. And once she believed the Holy Spirit, automatically, she's there. Because that's all God wants from us, is to believe His Word, and then He comes into the scene. And then He finds a David for you. Come on, now that'll be in you now. And not on the outside, it'll be in you. Rise up, a David will rise up and says, is there not a cause? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What do I got? Well, here's a stone. Here's another one. I got 5. Well, that's all I can find. They're smooth, they're not even jagged, whatever. That's all I got. What else? Well, I brought my sling with me just in case a wolf came after a sheep. But I got it with me. Let me go.
Uh-huh.
And that would have been kind of stupid, except that faith was there.
Amen.
And he killed him.
Yep.
Now remember, the stone didn't necessarily kill him. We don't know that for sure because there was a reason after he knocked him down. He said, give me that sword. I'm going to cut his head off just in case he's not dead. Now he is. See, just because the enemy, look, how many times have we done this? We'll get him trapped in a corner. something that's been in your life, some love of the world, some a lot of men, it's like sports or something like that, or just some kind of hobby or something. And sisters, a lot of times, be gossiping and talking and things like that. And I'm not trying to look at nobody. Don't be like that. I'm looking at the ground for a reason, so you don't say, "Ooh, he's talking about me." No, I'm not. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit being here. Hallelujah. And if he's talking to you, you might as well just not look at it as a man saying it, looking at Jesus Christ telling you that. You say, "Well, that was for me." Well, then praise him for it. Say, "Hallelujah." You get him trapped in a corner. And right there before you do it, say, "Well, I'll just watch one more. I'll just say this one little comment." And before you know what happens, that door opens right back and the devil comes in seven times worse than you were before. Before you know it, you can't even read your Bible because you're too busy watching it. You can't even think about Christ because you're too busy thinking about it. Woo, glory! There's still a giant slayer in the room right now. That's right. All you got to do is believe it and apply it. There was other times where God had brought His Word to the test. Actually, it's every time. Every son that comes to God must be tried and chastened. Do you believe that? Are you willing to look back and say, "You know what? It's not that brother. It's not that sister. It's not that church. It's not this or that. It's me. God has been focused on me." When you can get a revelation that your life is really predestinated, amen, and that all these things happen for a purpose and a reason, it gives you peace. Amen. You say, "Well, I did this, I did that." No, you didn't. Right. No, you didn't. I don't care. You could try to say that your will usurps the will of God, but it doesn't.
That's right.
And I thank God it doesn't. Amen. There's been times I thought I knew what I wanted. And I pursued hard to get what I wanted. And the door slammed in my face. Amen. And at the time you say, "But Lord, I prayed, I believed this or that." Right. And it's just like a father who sees you trying to grab that knife and go playing with it, knowing that you don't need that, boy. Right. Isn't that what we just opened up with? That's what Paul was saying. He says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted." Exhorted means to rebuke and things like that. I mean, and to encourage you and to point you the right way, which encouragement is both positive and negative. Okay, fear and love kind of go hand in hand in that regard. You know, you want to fear evil and love good.
Right.
They go together. You know, you can't say you love good and not fear evil.
Right.
All right, you hear me now. "As you know, and how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you." Well, why me, Lord? It's every one of you. Don't think, why is he always picking on me? It's not. It's every one of us.
Yeah.
Any Christian, if you come to church and don't get rebuked at all, well, I want to know what... You're ready to go then. You might as well just get ready to pack your bags because you must be going home soon.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got to say, because that's what I'm looking for. That's how I believe it. I believe when we're ready to go, we go.
Yes, amen.
When I fulfilled what I'm supposed to do here, I'll be out of here.
Amen.
That's right. So until then, it's me. Lord, shave me off, clean me up, do this, that. Get me right with you so I can go to bed knowing that if I would die, I can't die. Because there's something on the inside that'll bring me back up. Isn't that what the world's looking for? Peace? They just want peace. And they're getting promised peace, peace. But we know what's going to happen then. Sudden destruction. "As you know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you, as a father doth his children." And how much more the Heavenly Father his children. "That you should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory." So we've tried to change grace that says, "Well, I just can't pray quite like that. So, you know, God's grace to me is He's just going to have to put up with me the way I am." That's a good Cain's religion, but that's about as further as you're going to get. Daniel one time, he got put to the test too. Every child gets put to the test. They're coming to Greece, says, "Just worship this guy for 30 days or whatever it was. And then after that, you can worship any god you want to.
Yep.
See that? Here's the standard of the Word. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Here came into Greece, says, "Oh, you can do that the other 330 days. But those 30 days, you need to worship me, the king." Actually, his own image. Ooh, glory. All right. Actually, Daniel's was "don't pray to no other god," and then the three Hebrew boys was to worship the image, but really it was the same test. That's why I believe Daniel's had to happen, because he wasn't tested the first time, because they didn't expect him to bow down to his own image. Right? Would you expect George Washington to come and bow down to his own monument? Not if we, you know, okay, you understand that. But the three Hebrew boys, for instance, that went through and said, "When you hear the sound, just get down and worship for a little while, and that'll be it, and then you go back and do whatever you want." But that someone on the inside says, no. My love to God says I don't change the standard. And though it cost me my life, I'm too in love to forsake Him now. And they held on. And you say, my, that would have been, kind of easy. Maybe Mary could have hit. No, no, no. You understand. All the Israelites were bound down. Brother, Pastor so-and-so, he was bound down. The synagogue, they were all bound down. Three boys out there in the middle somewhere, standing up in a big crowd of people worshiping. They knew, they're going to find us. We're going to stick out. But see, something on the inside moved. What was it? It's true love. See, love was, the rest of it, we say, well, we're just, God's just meeting us where we need to. He knows that we're, you know, we finally obeyed the word and said, we'll go down to the Chaldeans and be their servants. But He never said to forsake the word now. Amen. He said, you can live there, but don't become one of them. Amen. No. God has allowed us to live in Laodicea, but He never said, let it affect you. He never said, become one of them. He never said, let Sodom in your door. He said, be a light that shines in a dark place.
Amen.
Jesus' own prayer says, I don't pray you take them out of the world. I pray you keep them from the evil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The three Hebrew boys stood there, and their love for God, true divine love, we're talking about that capstone, what it really means, sold out to God and says, though I die, I am not bowing down to that image. Though it's the image of a man I revere so much, a man that we have followed because he's the only one who'll stay on the word. A man that's had visions. A man that's told us the future before it got here. But that's just an image. That's not the God I'm serving.
Amen.
We won't bow down. And they came. And they said, oh, surely they just got confused. They just didn't quite understand. No, the bride's got revelation. We understand loud and clear.
Yes.
Government, we got it. We ain't supposed to preach this that too bad.
Amen.
No, we understood. We understood loud and clear, but we are going to serve the Lord. And they brought him in, we know, and they put him in trial and says, look, okay, we'll give you one more chance. Devil's good at that, isn't he? We'll give you one more chance. Look, here, we've got the musicians right here. When they start playing, all I need you to do is get down and worship for just a little bit, and you'll be on your way. And most people think, well, the love of God is, God, you understand, I'm under a lot of pressure. This is hard. We're the only ones. Even the pastor ain't standing up for it no more. I mean, can we really do this? Can we really preach against homosexuality and when we know that they'll get mad at us and think that we're hate, you know, doing hate crimes and things like that? Come on.
Sure.
And we'll think that, oh God, you'll just bring your standard down, but they had a revelation. That's not the love of God.
Right.
Love of God is, we'll stay with the standard.
Amen.
He said, King, live forever. I give you respects, King Nebuchadnezzar. But we're going to worship God. Even if you try, he said, the fiery furnace and all that, we've heard it loud and clear. We know exactly what's going to happen. But our God will deliver us. Oh, glory. I know we think that they thought, oh, maybe we'll die. No, they knew. They knew. They had broke through. That's what we need more than anything. We don't need to get into a good revival service or this preacher or this thing or that. You need to get in the fellowship with God yourself and learn how to break through.
Amen.
To where you are somewhere else with God.
Sure.
And I believe these Hebrew boys did that. They got to the point where they said, oh, I know, guys, I understand, I can feel the fear, Shadrach, Meshach, but look, you know what he told us? He'll deliver us when we get there. They might not have heard an audible voice, they might not have had a vision, but something on the inside knew we will not die if we stand for the word. Hallelujah! It was so strong, you know, the king slapped them in the face, essentially says, fine, you're dead. Get them out of here right now. And it was so hot that the men trying to bring them into the furnace burn up. And they just, you know what that shows? That they did it willingly at that point. Those men are gone. They just kept on walking. Why? Because the will of God was for me to go in there right now. Into that fire, that trial, that thing? Yeah. The thing I feared all my life? Yeah. Ooh, glory. Why? Because today you're getting the victory over it. Hallelujah! And they walked in there and a fourth man showed up. Just when you think you're going alone, the fourth man shows up. And all of a sudden, the fires are there. You see them, but you don't feel them. You don't smell them. They're not affecting you at all. You've got this big bubble of divine love.
Amen.
around you. And just lets enough fire in just to get the bands off your hands. Get them off your legs. So that way you can have a good jubilee like you ought to be. I think sometimes we just need to get the bands off so we can praise God the way we ought to be.
Glory.
Woo! How? You gotta walk into the fire.
Amen.
Well, I'm scared of that Holy Ghost fire. That shows there's something wrong on the inside. Get that right and jump in.
Amen.
If you go in faith, the only thing that gets burned up is your unbelief.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Daniel had the same trial. We know it came and says, look, for these certain days and everything, just don't worship any other god. That's all we need from you, Daniel. You're a highly respectful man. Don't become a fanatic. Come on, I bet his buddies came and said, look, I know you got your religion and things, and we appreciate that. You're a good moral man. We appreciate, you're faithful in the job. We appreciate that, but aren't you going a little overboard? Can't you just do this for a little bit? No. No. If God gives you revelation, I'm just going to have to preach. Y'all just polling or something. Tells you, I'm not working on Sunday.
Amen. Right.
If God drops that in your heart, brother, you stay on that.
Right.
And they'll force you and say, you got to do this or that. It says, look, the Holy Spirit told me not to.
Amen.
I'm not trying to tell you to presume. You got to hear from God yourself.
Amen.
But I believe if you got a heart's desire to be here, God will make a way. I've just seen Him do it too many times.
Yes.
The problem is I can't find people sincere enough to even pray that. That's what it is. I've had plenty of temptations. That's why I was actually a manager at Ponderosa at one point, and I told them before they even did it, I said, look, I'm not working Sundays because I went to two services. Just going to let that sink in for a little bit. And I was Sunday school superintendent. Ooh, glory. Faithful in little, faithful in much. That's right. It's absolutely true. And I said, I'm not working Wednesday nights. You still want me to do it? They said, oh, sure, yeah. For about 6 months. And I'm like, man, I really don't want to work Sundays. I don't know what to tell you. Because, first off, I wasn't even married yet, so I didn't need extra money necessarily. But I knew I needed the Word.
Amen.
I wanted the Word. Actually, I don't even care about need. I was so far wanting it that need is just on the back burner. I want the Word.
Amen.
I want to be there. I want to be in fellowship with God. I love it. I don't know. Some people act like church is a burden. I loved it.
Yes.
We get up when I got married, my wife, probably about 7 o'clock, be out the door by 8, get to church at 9, do Sunday school before church at 9:30 to 10:30, go to church first service, go out to lunch, come back, go to second service, get home by 8 o'clock. Oh, by the way, I was taking 17 credit hours and working 50 hours a week the rest of the week. And I still, pretty much you can just do it like this. You put your school block here, you put all the, the church blocks here, and fill the rest of it with work. That was my life. They'll say, brother, wouldn't it just been easier to skip a service here or there and all these things? Well, maybe. But easier ain't always the right way. Actually, it's usually not the right way. What did the Holy Spirit interpret that prophecy to Brother Branham? You, by your own choice, you've chosen the harder path, which is my path. Hallelujah. And Daniel, I'm going to read this. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, I love that that's in there. When he knew that the government had put the seal on it and this was law, when he knew it, he cowered in his house and said, fine, I'll just do it for a little bit and then we'll get back. He went to his house and his windows being opened. Glory to God. Don't be ashamed of me or I'll be ashamed of you. That's what he said. His windows being opened. In his chamber towards Jerusalem. Just in case you thought I was Muslim or something. Nope, we're pointing towards Jerusalem. Just in case you thought I was Catholic. Nope, point toward the Word. Just in case you thought I was Baptist. Nope, point toward the Word. Yeah, you're right. Yep, I still believe women ought to let their hair grow and wear dresses like women are supposed to. Men aren't supposed to cuss and drink and smoke. And we're supposed to be clean living and clean cut and look like Christians and act like Christians and love one another and love a sinner no matter what he does to you. Yeah, I believe all that. I believe homosexuality is a sin like anything else that's a sin. It ain't no greater than something else. It'll send you to hell just same as any other sin. That's right. I like the man that I just heard talk about that. He said, look, we've already established what marriage is. Marriage is between two couples that can create a family. Two parties, man and woman that create a family. He said, you're not asking us to, you're saying we're discriminating against homosexuality. You're not asking that. You're asking us to change what the definition of marriage is. Because he asked a very good question. Well, if you want to just include any marriage, what's the difference between these three people wanting to get married? Would you be for that?
Right.
How about a group of four that want to get married?
Yep.
Why are you discriminating? Oh, for your own benefit?
Yep.
Why do you want to change the standard? Because it fits your need? Woo, glory. Maybe you get to church very all the time and you pay your tithes and all that stuff. But bless God, don't preach on TV. You know, that's okay. We could change that one, but this other stuff. Oh, I'll bless brother so-and-so for missing. Don't get on my TV.
Sure.
Man, don't it just feel so good in here right now? Y'all pulling it. I'm telling you that right now. This is wonderful. I knew I was being inspired by this thought, and I just, if you only could know everything, I wish I could tell you it all, but I think you're hearing enough. You still got any left? Are we getting tired? Are we running out of steam? Or did we lose fifth gear somewhere and we're going to have to start going to neutral and just coast the rest of the service? I love you. No change the standard. Now we're here to be in the Holy Ghost. Well, after so long, then I can just be back in my flesh and just get tired and start looking at the clock and say, well, if he shut up already, maybe I go eat lunch. Come on now, brother, sister. You know that's the devil. You know it. Brother Bram said it wasn't just one or two. He said that's legions.
Yes.
Legions tell you that stuff. Why? Because right when the word comes, right when it's time for you to hear something you need to hear, you're thinking about lunch. Oh, glory. So just stay in gear. Say, Lord, I don't know how to shift this thing. I can't hit the clutch right. But you can. Let's do it. Fifth gear. I'm in. Glory. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. The standard stayed the same. And what's the problem? What's happening even in this message? We're just going to bring it right on home. It's so few ministers. And the laity, look, Brother Branham even says the same point. It's not so much the people, it's the leaders. Because the people are trying to follow something. It's the leaders begin to preach watered down standards. And that's why Brother Branham said you can only live as high as your pastor. That's why. It's not because he's some super spiritual man. It's that if he won't preach the word, you have nothing to believe. You don't know what word to believe. Now, God, if he can't find a man to stand for it, he'll make you the man. I believe that with all my heart. If I backslid and leave this message and you're predestined, you'll be fine. Okay? That's the point. But if I want to be a real man of God, I want to preach the standard of God because then the people can live there. That's right. Because they know what to believe. They know what not to compromise on. And that's everything in the Word. You say, well, aren't we being legalistic and all these things? I am legalistic. I love the Lord. I love Him so much, I want to love Him in everything I do, and I don't really care what anybody else thinks. Yeah, call me a legalist because I'm that in love.
Amen.
I really am. It don't matter what you think. It really don't matter what I think.
Amen.
Do you think I wanted to paint in my house? Do you think I cared about the doorknob didn't work? Do you think I cared about the other things we've done? No. Why did I do it? Because my wife wanted it. I wonder how many times the Lord's done stuff for us just because He loved us. And we'll say, well, bless God, that brother ain't never treated me right. Well, I got to do that for him. You love him or not?
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me read you a few quotes. I was actually just sitting there studying for this, and I was listening to the sermon. What was the Holy Ghost given for? 59. Now, I don't want to hurt you, but I've told you I'm here with the deepest of sincerity to keep from pinching you. Once in a while, I jump off on a line somewhere and just stay with the truth. But staying there and make it in such a way it won't pinch you too hard. But I want to tell you something. If the Bible says that it's wrong for a woman to cut her hair, and you say you've got the Holy Ghost and then cut your hair, I wonder if you have. Don't get mad. If it does, that still shows there's another mark against you. The Bible says it's wrong for a woman to put on a garment that pertains to a man, and you wear these little old overalls and slacks out here on the road, you grown woman, I guess a little baby would be all right, think if they play with little boys and things, but when you grown women, 15, 16, 18 years old, up to grandma and here on the road, and the Bible said it's an abomination in the sight of God for a woman to wear those things, and you wear them anyhow and say you got the Holy Ghost? I wonder sometimes. The Holy Ghost will follow God's word to the letter. And a preacher behind the pulpit that ain't got grace enough to preach it, I doubt he's got it.
Amen.
Well, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. See right there, you think, oh, you always preach on women, preach on women. There you go. That's right for me. What if I don't say it? What if I just ignore it and act like it ain't no big deal? And if God was really going to work on him, he'd use somebody else. Don't we say that too many times when it's the Holy Ghost anointing you to say it? And when you're a preacher, he got a choice. You're the one. So you either say it or, look, I either offend you or I offend him. If I get anointed to say something, and I know sometimes where it's going. I do. Why? Because he allows me to say it. Sometimes I figure it out right after I say it. But I hold this right here, this promise right here. And a preacher behind the pulpit that ain't got not law enough, grace enough, unmerited favor to know that I have to give you the word no matter what my feelings are about it. I have to say it because I know it's the only thing that can help you. That's the grace of God. It's unmerited favor. You don't have to do nothing for it. I don't have to. We just receive the grace of God, and as ministers, we present the grace of God. But if you listen to the devil, it's legalism. It's laws. It's rules. It's this or that. But if you find a revelation of Jesus Christ, you realize all it is your husband telling you what he likes. Amen. Glory to God. And God don't just pick stuff haphazard. He's got a reason behind everything. But you've got to believe Him. You've got to believe Him. It's got, let me keep reading there. It's to give unction to the preacher. It's to give holiness to the group. It's to set the church in order. It brings a spirit of unity. It's to unite us together with power. It's to unite us together with love, brotherly love. I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever you are. If we've all been by one Spirit baptized into one body and become members of the body of Jesus Christ, there's nothing present, nothing future, hunger, starvation, nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of God that's in Christ. Because we are born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. We are new creatures. We are a new creature. That's what God came to do. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. Yes, sir. Amen. Now, people, look at me in the face. A lot of hands went up. You had the Holy Ghost, see? Sure there was. Oh, now I'm going to bounce just a little bit here. This is tech. We're going to get it more to it tomorrow night. If you say you've got it and are guilty to these, I wonder what's leading you. God will never lead you off the Word. He'll keep you with the Word. Because that's God's own laws for His church to His people, for women and for men. Well, you say, it don't harm me to do this or that. It doesn't. The Word says it does. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, it'll lead you right to the Word. There'll be no excuses. God don't make any alterations or excuses. He makes the mark and you tow it. That's all. That's what it is with everyone. You come and say, or you come the same way. Peter said, repent every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, that's it. We've got to hit that line.
Amen.
Now listen, if you haven't heard me all today, right now is when I want you to listen more than ever. Now, I don't mean to hurt you. I love you too much. But brother, sister, do you realize that I know that I've got to stand in the last days at that resurrection with a generation of people and give account for this word? And the Holy Spirit showing this and me preaching out yonder, where are you going to stand? How are you going to get by with it? You can't do it, friend. Now stop that. Whatever you're doing that's wrong, stop it. You say, I can't. Then you haven't got the canter in you yet. When the Holy Spirit comes, He gives you the power over the world. And if you listen what he said, if you love the world or the things of the world, it's because the love of God isn't in you. Now there's no excuses. He makes it plain, and we've got to come up to that mark. And many times we hear these things, and what'll happen? The devil will slip in and say, look, they're trying to take you back to the law. They're trying to bring you back under these rules and regulations. They're trying to say we got to do this or that or the other thing. They're trying to take you away from that, you know, the New Testament, bring you back to the Old Testament. I've heard people say that about Brother Branham, I think, every day. He's just beating people and everything else. We all should just love and love and love. Yeah, love you right into a chasm of death. I see you out there on a boat about ready to go off a waterfall and say, well, I just love him too much to say nothing about it. I mean, I'll sit here and pray. And I know that the Lord, he'll He'll send an angel or something down there. God didn't choose angels.
Nope.
He chose men.
Amen.
He chose men filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
He chose men. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He says, this New Testament teaching. I got a few scriptures. Can we turn there? Romans 3. And I'll try to wrap this up soon. Thank the Lord. Are you getting fed today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says that capstone, that's what we're talking about. Headstone. It's absolutely. Romans 3. Let's go to verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, let's not be a Catholic or something and just scratch the rest of this out. Let's keep reading the Word of God. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the uncircumcision by faith and the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You know, before they would say, don't steal, don't cheat on your wife, don't commit adultery, don't covet and all these things. And we say, well, how in the world are we going to do that? Then Jesus came and said, look, men, you just look at a woman in lust. You already committed adultery. You say, don't murder. Well, I never touched a man. Well, did you talk bad about somebody? Because you killed him. That's right. And how many times do we just steal even God's time? And use it for our own pleasure? We're all thieves, murderers, adulterers, everything else. So we can't walk the law. How in the world are we going to do this? By faith now. But when faith has come, look, it fulfills that righteousness. We're justified. Absolutely. When the Holy Spirit comes and quickens that faith alive, it produces something. What does it do? Produce a life that establishes the law. A man that when he sees a pretty woman, something does this. Glory. A man when he has a thought says, go ahead and talk about that, brother. He says, I'm not going to kill my brother. I love him too much. Hallelujah. When it says, God don't mind me doing this for a little while. Well, why are you leaving him at all? He never left you. We ask him to never leave us or forsake us, but for some reason we think we can just leave and forsake him whenever we feel like. It'd be really convenient now, Lord, if you weren't here convicting me of this, so I could just do this in pleasure like I did before. Just don't work that way, does it? Not when the Holy comes. Because of this right here, faith has come, and you establish the law. You begin to... How do we do the law? Remember, they brought it to Jesus and says, the whole law, look, let me just sum it up for you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and love your brother as yourself. Here hangs all the law and the prophets. So what about this? What about cutting my hair and kicking my TV out and coming to church early and praying and all these things? If you break all those down, it'll be because you love the Lord and you love your brother.
That's right.
That's it. It's no more than that. And if you're not doing it for that reason, it's time to raise our hands and say, Lord, there is something wrong. I ain't built yet because that love ain't there. I'm stuck somewhere else, but I know that I'm predestinated to be this. I've got faith. I've got revelation that I can't be satisfied out in the world. There's something about this. I have to be this. I can't settle for a lower standard. Lord, let your love bring me to your standard. 1 John. This is my last scripture, Lord willing. 1 John chapter 3. We read this before, but I want to bring out a little bit different point. 1 John 3. Start right at the first verse there. Excuse me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, do you have this hope today?
Yes.
That I'm a son of God, that I'm conformed. I will be conformed to His image. When He comes back, I will look just like Him.
Amen.
If you've got this hope, look what the Bible says happens. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as God, He is pure.
Amen.
Well, I do that if, you know, somebody else. Well, why would I be the only one that doesn't watch this? Why would I be the only one who stays home Friday night from football game to go to a prayer meeting? Other person, they're pretty spiritual too. They don't got no problems with that. No. Don't purify your brother now. Ain't got no time for that. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a real Christian trying to serve the Lord, you got so much to worry about purifying yourself, you ain't got no time for somebody else. At least to get in their business and bother and create gossip and all this nonsense, you need to get on your knees and pray. Amen. And that be a willing vessel. Say, Lord, if there's a time that I can help that brother, let me be the vessel. Amen. It'll be a fearful thing because, look, a lot of times they're under a possession of a devil. And he don't like you saying a word. And don't make it personal for a while. But if there's something on the inside, there'll be a day when they wake up and say, thank God that that word kept coming. And you want to know what? This pastor back here got it from his dad. So I know what I'm talking about. You think, well, they're just picking on me. They're just doing this or that. But after you get a revelation, thank God for somebody that would stand for the word and tell me the truth. You ought to expect the same thing out of your dad. You ought to expect the same thing out of your pastor, out of your deacons, and et cetera. I got one last quote here, and we'll finish right here. You loving the word today?
Yes.
Statue of Perfect Man. We're talking about that capstone now. I'm going to be hitting on that for a long while, I think. Statue of Perfect Man's 62. You get it? These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, Lord, come, come, Lord. We don't realize that we're the reason it hasn't happened yet. We have to come to perfection, not just one or two, the whole body.
That's right.
Well, we'd be there if it wasn't for them. Well, then you need to start praying for them because you got a bad spirit on you. You ain't ready either. The church has got to come to perfection. That's right. In order to bring the resurrection. And they're under, souls under the altar, waiting for the church to come to its perfection. That's when Christ does come. And this church, you see, is becoming smaller in the minority. Brother Branham refers to the pyramid here. He says it's a whole lot sharper than that. Just like to write that cross there. See, it comes up to the needle point until the church in the minority has got to get into a place until it's the same kind of a ministry that this left. Because when this headstone comes back, and when it comes, the church has got to be honed. All these rest of the stones in the pyramid are laying so perfect till you can't run a razor blade between them, weighing tons, laying in there. How they get them up there, they don't know, but they were built. And up here, when the pyramid cap does come, the pyramid itself, the body of Christ will have to be honed. And not only just some creeds or doctrine or something other we come through, it'll have to be so perfectly like Christ to when He comes, He and that ministry will fit right smack together. Then will come the rapture, the going home.
Amen.
Oh yeah, Lord, you're perfecting the church. No. You have to be honed. You have to have a service that tears you up. You have to overcome that thing that keeps coming back in your life every so often because you just try to bypass it. You're saying, is that really true? Abraham had to do that. Sold his wife off. Sold her again. And eventually got to where, okay, that's the woman. That's the one. I ain't afraid no more. She's going to have that baby. And the promised son's going to come. Isn't that right? You go through the trial. But if you understand that you're the part of the bride of Christ, you have to be honed. That's why those trials come. And it's all in the great plan of God. And it's got one big word over the top of it. Love. Let's stand together today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just want to sing chorus here. Jesus is the one. 25. You'll remember it when you see it.
Let Him have His way. Dark clouds will have
Cutting today? Did you receive it as Paul told those Thessalonians? You received it not as from men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said we greatly rejoice because you received it the way it was sent. Not under some denominational thought, not thinking it was some man just coming up with something. You received it for what it was, the Word of God coming to you. And I pray with every head bowed, in respect to the Holy Spirit that's here now. No looking around. Just look toward Him now. You as the individual, is He your only one? Do you have other lovers? Are you committed to other things? Does He take the back burner when it's necessary? Or is He really the lover of your soul? If you say, Lord, I love you, Lord, but I just can't seem to get free of this. I just go to this or that. And Lord, I've cheated on you with other things of the world. I've given my heart to other things when I should have gave it to you. And I'm here to say I'm sorry. And I'm lifting my hands and say, Lord, I surrender this need to you. Believe and you'll hear my prayer and restore me. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Hands all over this place. You say, what does that mean, brother Andrew? All I did was raise my hand. No, that's the soul behind that made that hand raise. Naturally, the gravity of the earth would pull the hand down. But the soul that's in you, that spirit that gives you life, told you to raise it. And say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I want to serve you. If you're not saved today, don't leave that way. Say, how long does it take, Brother Andrew? What do I got to do? You don't got to do anything. You got to die. You got to let go. You got to quit saying, I can't, and say, He did. Hallelujah. Too many times we try to save ourselves. That ain't the grace of God. The grace of God is He saved me, so I love Him. Thank you, Lord. Breakthrough, Christian friend, sinner friend, whoever you might be today. The Holy Spirit's here. Don't be looking for big fancy things. Look for sincerity. Look for something that gets down in your soul deeper than any man could ever get, deeper than any lover in this world has ever gotten, and begins to tug on your heartstrings. And as you begin to see His face covered in blood, stripes on His back, hanging on a cross looking at you, saying, what haven't I done for you? And you don't think I'm good enough. And you'll love some devil that don't even care about you. You'll love some thing of the world that's just trying to kill you the whole time. And here I am. left alone. We all do it from time to time. How many wants to say, Lord, I'm coming back right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you just want to throw your arms around Him? You can. You got to have faith. You got to believe that now. Say, Lord, I want to touch You. You can. Touch Him by faith. When you raise your hands, I've done this many times, just think of Him standing right above you. And Lord, I'm just touching the hem of the garment. That's all I need. I just need to have Your presence here. Not just around me, but Lord, get down into my core and make it what I want to be. I want to be a Christian. Lord, and without You, I'm nothing. But I know, Lord, if You'll touch me, it'll be done. It'll be settled. Oh, I might have to fight. I might have to struggle. But if I can just get faith, it'll get me through all the trials. God bless you, brother, sister. Now you've got to learn to break through your own way. I'm not here. I'm just leading you to Him. I'm not Him. Neither is any other man. Neither was Brother Branham. I'm not the Son of Man that can do anything for you. But He's here. He's here. I think we've gotten too Jewish in our traditions. We want people to lay hands and say fancy prayers and to do these things. Look, right now the Word is going forth. The Holy Spirit is here anointing you. Even if you don't realize it, I'm here to tell you He's all around every person that's in this building. All you've got to do is get a little faith to say, Lord, I let go and I believe You. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my life. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost today, all you got to do is ask. He'll fill you. And if you're running dry, say, Lord, I'm just cold in heart anymore. I'm just backslid. All you got to do is be honest with Him and cry out to the Lord. Say, Father, help me. I believe You. I believe You said if I'll come, You'll fill me. Hallelujah. You said if I open the door, You'll come in and sup with me. You said if You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to Your children, how much more does Your Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Praise His name. Praise His name. Quit saying I can't. Get rid of those inferiority complexes that you ain't good enough. We know that already. You know that. He's the one that's good enough. He's the one that'll take you and bring you up there. You've got to believe Him. You've got to get to that rock of faith. How? Believe, confess it, say it. Don't say I can't, say I am. Lord, I believe I'm saved today by the grace of God. I believe I'm filled anew with the Holy Ghost and fire because You promised it to me. And keep pressing on in until it happens. And it will. It will. You're waiting on something else. It's here. You're not waiting on it. He's here right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. As you begin to feel that burden lift off to you, be careful to give God the praise for it. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, what an altar call. You just feel here. We don't need to come to an altar to have one. It's happening in your heart right now. You believers, look, if God did this whole service just for you, you take that and run with it. Oh, praise His name. Praise His name. Oh, praise His name. Oh, thank You, Lord. That's it, brother, sister. That's it. Just go ahead and start thanking Him for it. Start praising Him for it. Say, Lord, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm restored back to fellowship again. Lord, whatever it takes, whatever you're showing me, whatever I gotta do, Lord, I'm surrendering to that will today. Praise be to God in the highest. Praise be to God. I just can't, Brother Andrew. Yes, you can, because He did. Oh, glory. Jesus is not on the cross. He rose again. And He sent the Holy Spirit here, right here in Defiance, Ohio, Laodicea. For you today. For you. You say, why didn't He come 5 years ago? Because of you right now today. What an unction of the Spirit that's here now. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Yield yourself to His Spirit now. Get rid of all those doubts and those thoughts that, well, it's just nothing. We're just here. We're just moving along. No, we're in a different realm right now. We're literally where all things could happen. The this is mostly for the children, because I believe you're receiving the word right now. But if you'd like to come forward for prayer, I'd be happy to pray with anyone that would want to, even for the adults. That's fine. I'm telling you, you've been receiving the word. I wish I could just tell you your needs, but you've got to have faith in what you're doing. You can't base it on Brother Andrew saying something about it. We've depended, I'm saying that right here for this church, you've depended too much on that. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to you. You're waiting for Brother Andrew to do this or for this person to say this. Maybe you need to learn how to hear from God yourself. God has done that to encourage you, not to make you dependent on a man. There's only one man to be dependent on, that's Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray with these children up here. Pray as well. Just keep praising the Lord. That's the atmosphere that creates all miracles. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Faith and get ready for it. Lord, you honor it right now. These bumps away, Lord, the pain that goes with it. To be able to raise these kinds of worship without pain. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray together.
To be a Christian, it's the greatest thing I ever did. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him now. Don't think of your mistakes. Don't think of your failures. Think of the blood of Christ right now that's bringing you back. Lord, prepare. Believe it now. Sing in faith. To be a sanctuary. Oh, pure and holy. True, and with thanksgiving.
Are you thankful today? Thank you, Lord, for coming my way. I didn't know what I was going to do, but then Jesus showed up. Thank you, Lord. Those Hebrew boys didn't know what they were going to do either, but then Jesus showed up. Daniel didn't know what he was going to do, but then the angel of the Lord stopped all the mouths of the lions. In the bride of Christ, in our minds, we might not know what we're going to do, but he's here now. And as long as he's here, the fire won't touch us. The lions won't bite us. The government can't get us. Hallelujah. Believe that now. Believe that your sins are remitted in the name of Jesus Christ. Go free today. Worship with all your heart, free of any conscience of sin. You're holy before him. You're holy. You've got to believe that. Thank you, Lord. Sanctuary. Sing it again with a wave offering. Just wave your hands to it.
Oh, Lord, prepare me.
With all your heart.
Be a sanctuary. Pure and holy.
With all your heart.
Grant
it, Father, to each Christian today. Thank you, Lord.
For with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Oh, sanctuary. Oh, thank you, Jesus,
before you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the word today. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your voices this morning. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed the word today? How many is feeling the effects of the word even right now? That, Lord, I could just, that burden I walked in with, it's gone. That pain that I have, it's not there. I know y'all testifying. Y'all ready to? It's what you got. Go ahead. Oh, Lord. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. How many believes that today? Amen. Same God that made the back wheels, started taking care of the sugar. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't resist. Worship. Worship. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that's a miracle right in your midst from the spoken word going forward. That's what we've waited on. Hallelujah. Well, it wasn't big enough, wasn't fancy enough. Quit worrying about that. It's the results that count. When you feel that peace of God in your heart, you cling to that. Say, Lord, thank you for meeting with me today.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for taking that from me. Thank you for making me feel well. Glory to God. Thank you for that promise that's out there. And for so long, it just seems so far away. But all of a sudden, right now, I believe it. I believe that my son's coming back. I believe my daughter's coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I've made a mess of things, but I believe right now, Lord, you're getting the glory out of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can you just worship and thank him for a little while? We got a little time here. Just worship and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. thank you, Lord, for being amongst us, Father, fulfilling your word again. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that, let the water of the word, just yield yourself to the Spirit. We'll see if the Lord has anything else to do, but he's done plenty already. Thank you, Jesus. What a... You're so good, Lord. Thank you for being here, Lord. Doing what no man could do. On holy ground. Oh, we are standing. Service at this point. Hallelujah. It's been good to be in his house. It's good to hear the truth. Aren't you grateful for the truth? Are you convinced that the truth's the only thing that's ever going to help you anyhow? Thank you, Jesus. That's right. I believe that. I believe she's done with that. Diabetes and all that nonsense. Anytime I've ever thought about it, I hate that spirit, that devil spirit. I can't stand it. I hate all of them. But for some reason, I hate that one a lot more. But I know he's already defeated. If you ever notice the devil, I want to tell you there's only one rightful place for him. It's under your feet. That's his position. He had one. But once he forfeited that, God gave him a new one. You get under my breath right there. And don't you move. Don't let him squirm around either. He starts wiggling a little bit, you give him another good stone. Hallelujah. Feel free to worship him as long as you like to. His dad's Miami service. Fellowship out at my place, you're all welcome. Don't worry if you brought something or not. It's fine. If you want to, you probably want to ask my wife or the sisters, because I don't know nothing, so don't ask me. That's right. It's good to be in his house. How many loves Jesus Christ more than anything? Thank you, Lord. Just continue to love and pray for one another. Help her. Pray with our sister, too, that need. Other needs that maybe the Lord showed you in this place. I know he's shown me a few. I'll be praying for those. I know he's faithful, though. Do you believe him? Believe the word for yourself today. Hallelujah. It's good to be in a group of believers. If you need encouragement from Brother Andrew today, I want to say, I knew this would be a tough service, but you made it easy. But you love the word, and that's all any minister wants. Don't give me a bunch of put on and all this stuff. Give me people that are sincere. People that love the word, they'll take it no matter what it is. Lord, I want the word. I want to be the word. I'll be the word. I don't care. I'm not lowering the standard. Bring me up there, Lord. And if I can't get up there, Lord, send me somebody to tell me how to get up there. Don't give me some watered-down preacher, watered-down gospel. Give me the truth. If it tears me up and down, that's fine. Because if it tears me, that's good. It gets rid of my enemy, and the only thing that'll be left is Christ. God bless you today. I'm going to quit preaching. Go ahead, Dad. We'll worship for a little while. You be dismissed. Try to be quiet. If you're ready to go, just go on outside so those can stay in. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'm a brand new man. Thank you, Lord. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a brand new
born again.
Thank you, Lord.
More than a
That's you now.
That's what I.
Through Christ you strengthened.
I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new.